The sicha that we're going to review is the sicha about Parshas Lech Lecha, found in Chelek Yud. The second sicha about Parshas Lech Lecha in Chelek Yud. In this sicha, the Rebbe explores the idea of a bris milah and its connection to Avraham Avinu, as found in Parshas Lech Lecha, and concludes with a beautiful and relevant message about our shlichus to make this world a dwelling place for Hashem, our God-given mission to elevate this world. In Chelek Aleph, the Rebbe tells us that in this week's parsha, Hashem tells Avraham to circumcise himself. And when Avram circumcised himself, he was considered Roish HaMoilim, the first of anyone who would enter into this holy covenant between a person, a human, and Hashem through the physical circumcision. Now, subsequently, for time immemorial, when a baby boy has a circumcision, a bris milah, we say a special prayer that we thank Hashem for allowing this child to enter into the covenant of Avraham Avinu. So we are making a direct connection to the baby, between the baby's circumcision and the circumcision of Avraham Avinu. Avraham was the beneficiary to all other Jews. He gave us the power to enter into this special covenant with Hashem. And that covenant was the inheritance that all of his children and all people who converted to Judaism inherited from him, this special covenant between a Jew and Hashem. Now, we know a few things about an inheritance from Jewish law. Number one, the inheritance is not dependent on the status of the one who is inheriting. Even a child that is one day old can inherit an inheritance from a beneficiary. Jewish law also tells us that there's no change in ownership. It's not that the inheritance is passed down from one owner to the next, but the inheritor actually steps into the place of the beneficiary. The inheritor becomes a proxy for the beneficiary. He represents the beneficiary now. So instead of the inheritance moving down, the inheritor moves up to take the place, to sit in the chair of the one who gave him the inheritance, who endowed him with the inheritance. So now, taking all of those halachic concepts and applying them to the idea that Avraham gave us the covenant as an inheritance, what we can understand is that any person can inherit this from Avraham. It doesn't matter what his personal status is. He still gets the same covenant between himself and God, the same one that Avraham fixed for himself. And a case in point is that a baby boy, although he's too young to really merit this incredible bond between him and God, he still effectively activates this covenant that he inherited. In Ice Bays, the Rebbe asks the following question. Although in the liturgy we make the connection between the circumcision of the baby boy and the circumcision of Avraham, the Rambam, Maimonides, when describing the mitzvah of circumcision, says that we do not circumcise baby boys because of Abraham. We circumcise baby boys because Hashem commanded us through Moshe to give our children a circumcision. Even though the power to fulfill this comes from Avraham, the mitzvah is not necessarily an unbroken continuation from Avraham. It's founded on the mitzvah given to us through Moshe. So why do we call it the bris, the circumcision of Avraham? Meaning, even if Avraham hadn't done it, if Moshe commanded that to us, we would have done it just for Moshe's sake. Why do we trace it back to Avraham? In fact, the Medrash explains that all of the mitzvos that were done before the giving of the Torah were very different than those done after the giving of the Torah. Avraham had a circumcision before the giving of the Torah. Moshe commanded the Jews to have a circumcision after the Torah was given. And the Medrash says that the mitzvos that were done, performed by our holy matriarchs, patriarchs, and their children, all before the giving of the Torah, were like a smell. And they were like a scent when you smell something good. So it's kind of emanating from the essence of the scent. But the mitzvos done after are like the oil itself. We grasp the oil itself. We're not just smelling the fragrance of the oil. Well, that's a big difference. The smell is very different than the actual oil. And obviously the advantage of the oil over the smell of the oil is immeasurable. So our mitzvos, or the mitzvos that were done after the giving of the Torah, that's the real deal. That's like the oil itself. That has a tremendous advantage over the mitzvos done before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah. So our commandment to circumcise baby boys is a lot greater, seemingly, than the mitzvah done by Abraham, by Avraham, wherein he gave himself and his family a circumcision, because that would be compared to the scent and not the oil itself. And another question is, aside from the fact that we don't necessarily need to connect the circumcision of a baby back to Avraham, and that the circumcision of a baby transcends, seemingly, the circumcision of Avraham, another question is, why don't we call this the covenant of God? After all, that's what it is. Avraham was just setting the tone for this covenant. But it is not the covenant of Avraham. It is the covenant with God. In Ice Gimel, the Rebbe says that we could answer these questions about Avraham's connection to the bris milah, the circumcision, by learning the words of the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, who says that at the moment of the bris milah, the holy soul begins, the entry of the holy soul begins. And we can ask a question about this notion that the entry of the holy soul begins when the child has the circumcision. The Medrash tells us that even before a child was born, the Gemara tells us that when the child was in his or her mother's womb, they were taught the entire Torah by an angel. This is from Maseches Nida. Well, that must have been a very spiritually oriented child if he learned the entire Torah in utero. How does that jive with the words of the Alter Rebbe that he didn't even have a godly soul? The godly soul only begins entry 8 days after his birth. And the answer to that question is that, of course, the child had a godly soul from the moment of conception. But at the time of circumcision, that's when the inner part of the neshama, the soul, becomes so connected to the body to the extent that they become one entity, they fuse. And once that happens, once the soul joins the body in this incredible fusion, the soul has an effect on the body, and that effect is recognizable. So whereas when the child is in his or her mother's womb, he has a godly soul, since that godly soul hasn't fully entered, meaning it's not fully one with the body, the impact of the soul on the body isn't recognizable just yet. It's not felt. The impression is not made on the body. And a case in point is that the child's body is being sustained not so much from his or her own soul and digestive system, but by the food that the mother eats. That's what's giving that child its life force. Of course, once the child is born, immediately, the child needs to be more connected to its own life force and its own ability to eat and breathe on its own. But still, that initial connection is more with the animating soul, the animal soul. And still, the godly soul hasn't fully connected to the body. And that happens 8 days later when the baby boy is circumcised. Just like Hashem tells Avraham, V'hoisa brisi bivsorchem levris oilam, my covenant will be in your flesh as an everlasting covenant. We see here that the covenant with Hashem, the relationship of that child with Hashem, needs to be engraved in the flesh of the body in a way that lasts forever. So this is the true imprint of the soul on the body in a way that can never be undone. And Aizdalad, the Rebbe, says that this is an incredible advantage that the mitzvah of Bris Milah has, because really all mitzvos have the objective of uniting the person with the mitzvah that's being performed and with Hashem, who commanded them to do that mitzvah. In fact, the word mitzvah means tzavtza, to connect. And yet, with most mitzvos, this connection is not recognizable on the body of the person who performs the mitzvah. For example, the hand that gives charity, tzedakah, although was physically affected and uplifted by that mitzvah, but it's not recognizable to others that that hand is a hand that performed a mitzvah. By contrast, when one performs the mitzvah of Bris Milah, that change in the physical body, the impression that the soul made in the body, the impression that the connection with Hashem had on the physical nature of the body is apparent in the most obvious way. That is what the whole mitzvah is about. From beginning to end, the mitzvah is about making a recognizable change in the body in order to create a bond between Hashem and our very flesh. And this is the unique greatness of the mitzvah of the covenant of circumcision. Now, there were other times in the Torah that a covenant was made, an agreement, a commitment was made between the Jewish people and Hashem. In fact, before Moshe passed away, he made a covenant with all Jewish people. He said, I am making an oath and a covenant with you, he tells the Jewish people, and not just with those standing here today, but I'm making this covenant with all of us, with those standing here today and those who are not here with us this day, which sounds like a very strong covenant. In fact, it was so strong and powerful that it included people that were not standing with Moshe that day, meaning the people that had passed away previously and people of every subsequent generation. Everybody was part of this incredible covenant that Moshe made between the Jewish people and God, this commitment, this oath, this bonding. And yet, We see in this type of covenant that Moshe made with the entire Jewish people and God, that it was more of a spiritual connection. For example, even though it was their ears that heard the words of Moshe and traveled into their psyche to strengthen the bond between them and Hashem, it wasn't really about their ears. Their ears were able to bring the message to their brain, to their soul, and create that connection. But what's interesting and unique about the covenant made by every individual boy and God through the circumcision, the bris milah, is that the body is not just a medium to bring the message to the soul, to the heart, so that I feel a strong connection to Hashem, but actually the body and the impression that my connection to God has on my body is the ultimate objective. And in this way, the covenant of God that's created by the Bris Milah is different and more powerful than other covenants that were made between the Jewish people and God during the time that they spent in the desert with Moshe, because it is an expression of commitment to God in the most physical way. It's an expression of making a dwelling place for God in the lower world. The lowest part of a man's body is now changed because of his relationship with God. And that creates an indwelling of God in the lowest part of the world, in my little world, my body, in a way that the average covenant or the other covenants that are more about the commitment of mind, heart, and soul cannot accomplish. Meaning, when a baby is 8 days old and he has no comprehension of what he is accomplishing and he can't choose to enter into this covenant with Hashem. And yet the Torah says that's exactly when he should be circumcised. Because the entire objective of this bond with Hashem, this covenant, is that the physical body, not the soul and the conscious mind, be connected to Hashem in this irreversible way. And that's only possible at the age of 8 days old. In Ois Hei, the Rebbe says, now that we understand the unique objective and accomplishment of the Bris Milah as a real body connection between us and God, one that transcends the conscious mind and even our soul's understanding of that connection, the true drawing down of God into the lowest part of our life and our body, now we can understand better the prayer that we say at the time of the circumcision, which is that the child is entering into the covenant of Avraham. Previously, we asked why it's called the covenant of Avraham if we perform the mitzvah, not because Avraham performed the mitzvah, not because God commanded Avraham to perform the mitzvah, but because Moshe commanded us as an agent of God to perform the Bris Milah on every baby boy. So what is this connection? Well, to understand this, let's look at another subject entirely, which is the subject of the Akedah, Avraham Avinu being willing to sacrifice his son Yitzchak Isaac as an offering to Hashem. We learn about this in next week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayera. And there's an interesting commentary from Rabbi Nachum Mendel Horodocker in the Pri Haaretz, where he talks about the uniqueness of Avraham's willingness to sacrifice his son. And he says, Avraham is not the only person that sacrificed his life or his child's life for the sake of God. In fact, there were people that made that sacrifice without an explicit request from Hashem to do so. And yet we put Avraham on a pedestal for his accomplishment of being willing to sacrifice his son. And we look to that moment as a moment of inspiration forever after. And the reason is that he was the first one to sacrifice himself in such a manner. And because he was the first one, he, in a sense, made it possible and easier for other people to do the same. He opened up the pipeline, and everybody else goes in the path of the precedent that he set. And that's why his mitzvah, his listening to God, his sacrifice, surpassed all others, because he was the first and therefore was the hardest. He didn't have a precedent to follow. Now, again, this is the explanation of the greatness of the Akedah given by Reb Menachem Mendel Haradoker. And the lesson is very obvious, that when a person has a test to face, they should consciously bring to mind the fact that other people have done this before. Other people have had this challenge and stood up to the test. And that could really help a person, knowing that it's been done before. That could really help a person muster up the courage to pull through and make the right choice when faced with adversity and when pulled in different directions. But hypothetically, if a person doesn't know what was accomplished before him, even if it had been accomplished before him, but he just doesn't know about it, would that help him? Seems like it wouldn't help him at all, the Rebbe says. And in fact, if he didn't know that somebody already withstood this test, and he was going through it himself, he or she, they would need the same power as the first person did, because it would be equally challenging, because they don't know that somebody else already did it, and they're not getting strength and confidence from thinking about somebody who has already gone through the circumstance and the test that he or she is currently going through. So it really doesn't help him at all to know what was accomplished before him. And this would ring true when we talk about circumcision. Because although Avraham may have been the first to sacrifice his son, and that may give tremendous strength to other people that are going through challenges with their own children for the sake of God. But when it comes to a baby, although Avraham was in fact the first one to have the circumcision, would this lesson taught by Reb Nachum Mendel Haradoker about the challenge of the first person to do something and the comfort that gives to the subsequent person, would that apply to the issue of circumcision? Because obviously a baby would find no comfort, no encouragement, no strength from knowing that somebody else had a circumcision before him, going all the way back to Avraham, the first person. Avraham had this circumcision. How does that help the baby, though? The baby doesn't understand or know about the history of his people, of the Jewish people. And the Rebbe goes on to say, even a person who is older and could theoretically understand and has learned about the story of Avraham, for example, somebody who converts to Judaism, or somebody maybe who didn't have a circumcision when they were young and has to have one when they are an adult. Even for them, the fact that Avraham Avinu already withstood this test of circumcision, he did it. He did it, and he did it even though it was painful. That doesn't necessarily help the person, the adult or the non-baby, when his flesh is being cut. The pain is pain, And it really doesn't matter that it's been done before. Yes, he can go into the mitzvah with the courage and fortify himself spiritually, knowing that he's doing something very important that was done first by Avraham and then by a whole chain of people, but that Avraham was the first, that can give him a lot of inspiration and motivation. But at the time that his body is being hurt, that fact doesn't lessen the pain. And in that way, everybody, a child and even an adult who is undergoing the bris, is accomplishing something that is as difficult as it was for Avraham. Every time, it's like the first time all over again. There's really no there's no mitigation of the pain knowing that there was somebody who's done it before them, namely Avraham. And this is exactly why every child is said to be entering into the covenant of Avraham. What we mean to say is that he is doing exactly what Avraham is doing. He is undergoing a test as difficult as Avraham's test, because Avraham was the first and that was very hard. And this little baby is doing it as a first-time circumcised person also, because he doesn't know that Avraham did it. And even if he did, it wouldn't take away the pain. So he's on the same level as Avraham. He's literally entering into the same experience that Avraham entered into. And therefore, the covenant is exactly the same. And Oisvav, the Rebbe says, this will explain another question about the circumcision. Why did God require, does Hashem want a mitzvah that causes so much pain? A Jew is supposed to be happy when they serve God. How can you be happy when you're doing something that is so painful? Why is it that this mitzvah specifically needs the pain in order to accomplish the tremendous feat of bonding a baby boy's physical body with God and creating the epitome of a dira betachtonim, a dwelling place for Hashem in the lowest world? Why would such an incredibly holy spiritual activity necessitate pain? There must be some connection between the pain and the accomplishment. In fact, the Acharonim say that the mitzvah of Bris Milah must involve pain, and they don't allow a full anesthesia on the child to take away the pain. So it seems like the pain is an important part of the mitzvah, even though a mitzvah needs to be accomplished with joy. So the Rebbe says, if the whole intention of the circumcision, the bris milah, is to draw godliness into the physical body, the lowest part of the physical body, to make that body a dwelling place for Hashem in the lowest world, therefore the mitzvah needs to touch on the most limited part of our senses, meaning pain. The body is saying, no, 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 don't do it. This is painful. That means that that's a part of us that's intolerant, constricted. I can't feel the pain. I can't. And yet that's exactly where Hashem says, in that experience of constriction and pain, that's exactly where I can connect to Hashem in the deepest way, in the most eternal way. Because I am making a dwelling place for Hashem, not only in the lowest place of the body physically, but in the lowest sensation of the body, in the most limited sensation of the body, the part of the body that experiences pain, the sensation of pain. Bringing the mitzvah into that reality, that phenomenon, is the ultimate expression of making a dwelling place for Hashem in our physical, natural, limited world and experience. In Isaiah, the Rebbe says, now that we understand the challenge and the accomplishment that occurs during the bris milah of a baby, and of course, if need be, an adult, we can understand another issue that we have in terms of our connection to Hashem and our mission in this world. And it involves pain, because that what we're going to explain is about pain, not that our mission involves pain. But the Alter Rebbe talks about pain, in the Shulchan Aruch, saying that a person doesn't have permission to pain his body, and a person should never intentionally seek pain. And that being said, when we understand fully what's accomplished by the bris milah, the incredible ability to make a dwelling place for Hashem within a baby boy's physical body, what we can infer is that when it comes to the mission of making a dwelling place for Hashem in this world, in any particular circumstance, we cannot refrain from doing the mission because of the pain. As Chazal say, what do you have to do with the secrets of Hashem? I don't understand why this mission would involve pain, but what do I understand? And perhaps it is only in this way, a way that involves pain and challenge, that this mission can be fulfilled. Meaning, when we have something to accomplish, an ability to make a dwelling place for Hashem in the lowest world, it's very natural to make a calculation and to say, I would do this, I just can't because there's too much pain involved. And we almost think that we need to inform God from being down on the ground that, hey, you know, this theoretically would be a good idea. The only thing is that there's too much pain. I don't know if you notice, God, but there's a lot of pain that would be involved in pulling through in this particular area. But of course, in reality, God is the one who decides whether this mission is worthy to accomplish. And if this is the opportunity that Hashem gave you, then he wants you to pull through, even though my experience of it is that it will cause pain. And the Rebbe concludes by saying that when a person does dedicate their life to their mission with all of their powers, and of course those powers are in addition to the power of the Mishaleach, the one who sent him, then he will be successful. He will fulfill the mission appropriately, and it will be without pain. And instead, it will be with joy and gladness of heart, and he will be successful in making a dwelling place for Hashem in the lower worlds.